Good evening, everyone. Gemar Simatova. I'm Rabbi Menachem Penner. I need an introduction here as much as Rabbeinu of Rosenzweig does, but for the sake of formality, we are here at the 38th year of the Hausman Stern Kinnis Tshuva Lectures. Lecture series was established by the late philanthropists Judy and Gerson Hausman, supporters of both YU generally and REITs, to honor the memory of their parents, Elias J. and Mary Stern, and Moshe and Chava Hausman. This is, as I mentioned, the 38th year. Most of you haven't been around for 38 years, but there's a long storied tradition to these Kinnis Tshuva lectures, and we are proud to once again have with us Rav Rosenzweig to give tonight's lecture. This is one of two. There's a lecture always in Eretz Yisrael, at least there was before COVID, and Baruch Hashem back again. Rabbi Berman will be speaking on what is the purpose of tshuva. That'll be this Sunday. I believe the live stream starts at 1:20 p.m. Those who want to watch, 1:20 p.m. on Sunday will be the live stream in Eastern Standard Time. Tonight, here, we welcome members of the Hausman family, as well as members of the Rosenzweig family. And we are here with our Rosh Hashiva Rabbeinu, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, who's the Nathan and Peril Shuf Chair in Talmud, and Rosh Hashiva here at REITs, as well as the Rosh Kolel of the Baron Kolel Elyon at REITs. Rosenzweig, as all of you know, is not just one of our senior Rosh Yeshiva, but is, of course, a spokesman of Torah for our community, for our philosophy, our hashkafa. And very much of that comes out through his shiurim, not simply talks on hashkafa, but specifically comes out through Ma'ar Makomos. I and many of his talmidim have learned to give Shabbos Shuvah drushes, Shabbos Hagadol drushes, in the style of what we were able to hear in our years in Shir together. There will be Mitz Hashem soon, next year, a first volume of Rosenzweig's Shiurim and lectures on Elul and the Yom Narayim. We'll have to wait for next year, I think, to see that come out. But we'll have another opportunity to grow from his Torah, from his Hashkafas Olam. This evening, the topic Shabbat Shabbaton and the concept of Kedusha, the special legacy of Yom HaKippurim. Of Rosenzweig Shlita.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Penner. Always special to be introduced by Rabbi Penner, who, in addition to being the Menahel of the Yeshiva, is really a very specially valued Talmud. I, too, remember with great fondness his time in the Shir, and the fact that he plays the kind of role that he does in the community. And here, that continuity is really very special, you know, for me as well as for his other Rebbeim. And the combination of, you know, being a Rebbe and a colleague is really a very special phenomenon. It's really a pleasure to take part in this Shir lecture. We were discussing just a couple of minutes ago a little bit of the history with the family, and that, you know, in some respects, this is a continuation of the Masorah of our yeshiva, the tradition that the Rav Zatzal of Soloveitchik, who was all of our Rebbe, those of us who are in a Shir, and the Talmidim who have learned from his Talmidim and Talmidei Talmidim, he used to give a Shir every year, which many of which were ultimately transcribed in, you know, the Sefer Ala Tshuva, very classic, very you know, unique Tshuva Drashos. And when the Rav was no longer able to do that, you know, the Masorah of the Yeshiva continued, you know, the family had the foresight to establish this Shir and this lecture, which, you know, began, what did we say, how many years ago? 38 years ago. I actually gave one in the earlier part, but I think it's really a very special family, you know, that has the foresight, you know, to try to project Torah in this way, and especially Ben Kessel the Osar, and Aser Simei Tshuva, when there's so much at stake, and it's a time of reassessment and taking stock as individuals and as a community, to have the foresight really to project Torah values in that context is really a very special thing, and it's really a pleasure for me to participate. In Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar, a midrashic work of some note, in Parshas Amor, this is in the Mar Makomos that you have, it's number one. I want to thank Rabbi Yaakov Taubes for his excellent work. Those of you who know me, many Talmidim in the crowd, know that I don't, you know, with the bolding and the numbers and the organization, it's beyond my, I wouldn't say it's beyond my skills, but it's certainly beyond my patience. So I really want to thank Rabbi Taubes who did it, with great aplomb and was very nice about it. So the in Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar of Emor, here in source number one, the Medrash has a very stirring, very beautiful description or depiction of Yom Kippur. And they zero in on the words Shabbos Shabbason, which is the title of this evening's shiur / lecture. The Torah says Shabbos Shabbaton Hulachem. We'll discuss that more in a minute. And the Medrash says, Ilule Yom HaKippurim Lo Haya HaOlam Omeid. If not for Yom Kippur, the world literally would not be able to exist. Of course, it calls into mind, you know, Al Gimel Dvarim HaOlam Omeid, the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechet Avos, which refers not just practically, there are two Mishnayos in Avos. One is Al Gimel Dvarim HaOlam Omeid, the other is Al Gimel Dvarim HaOlam Kayam, for those who have the different girsos. Kayam means practically function. There are certain things that are necessary for a world, for an institution, for a family, certain nuts and bolts requirements to function. But the word Omeid, as Rabbeinu Yonah explains in Avos, has a much more idealistic connotation. It refers to the telos, the purpose, what makes something worthwhile. So I'm assuming that Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar is using it in that way as well. If absent Yom Kippur, the world would not be able to exist in the sense that we would not be able to aspire, we would not be able to accomplish, we would not be able to live a purposive life if not for the holiday of Yom Kippur. She Yom Kippur mechaper ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba, because Yom Kippur has the ability to atone for this world and the next world. We're all familiar with the need for atonement ba'olam hazeh. The concept of atonement ba'olam haba is a little bit mysterious. Shenemar Shabbat Shabbaton hulachem, because of the double usage of the word Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbaton, Shabbos ba'olam hazeh, the Shabbos ba'olam haba. Somehow, the concept of Shabbos is described in connection with Yom Kippur, actually a phrase that is used twice, as we'll soon see, has significance that go beyond the physical world. Apparently, there's something instructive about the spiritual ultimate reward of Olam Haba as well. And then, as a coda to this, the Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar concludes, V'afilu kol ha-moedim overim, Yom HaKippurim eino over. This is a little bit of a play on the language in the end of the Megillah and the discussion, you know, in Chazal, you know, about the possibility that some Moadim, you know, would no longer operate in the same way. So the Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar is saying, even if you were to cancel Chalila, the other Moadim, every Moed is precious and everyone, you know, plays a very special role. But, you know, it's an abstract statement. Even if there were no other Moedim, there would have to be Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is so indispensable to our lives. So this is a very grandiose statement. It speaks of how pivotal Yom HaKippurim is, not only practically and functionally, but in terms of, you know, defining what it is that is meaningful in life, existentially, we could say. Apparently, Yom HaKippurim is indispensable. And somehow that also relates to the interface between the various worlds, present world and Olam Haba, which is not a physical world, but a world of pure spirit, a world which, you know, everybody is simply able to bask in the presence of the Rabbonu Shel Olam, just like the, you know, Mizmor that we've been saying, Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem, right? If we had one request, Shifti Beveis Hashem, Kol Yimei Chayoi, Lachsos Benoam Hashem Levaker Beheichalo, simply to be in the presence of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. That's how Olam Haba is described. Somehow Yom HaKippurim is critical not only to getting through functionally and existentially this world, but also is key to understanding the interface of the two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And obviously, in light of this, the unique status of Yom HaKippurim requires clarification, if not justification. We're all aware that Yom HaKippurim is a very significant holiday. The awe and the trembling, the preparation for Yom Kippur, you know, all is based on that, you know, assumption. But this particular description, as Kol HaOlam Omed, if there was only one holiday, this is the one that it would be. The interface of the worlds is surely very striking and requires that we reflect further on the contribution and the character of Yom HaKippur. The Rambam Minuchas Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, number 2 in the Mar Makomos, says that Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'Kol Yachid V'L'Rabim, Yom Kippur is the time of tshuva for individuals and for the community. V'hu Keitz Mechilo Slicha L'Yisrael, again written in the Rambam's own, you know, special style, this formulation. It's the termination point, it's the last opportunity to gain atonement, Mechila Slicha Li Yisrael. Lefikach, therefore, says the Rambam, Chayavim HaKol Lasos Tshuva Ulisvados B'Yom HaKippurim. Everybody is obligated to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur. The significance of this statement should be understood against the background, and we're not going to discuss this more fully now, but just as, you know, as a little piece of our puzzle. The Rambam dedicated 10 extensive chapters to Hilchos Tshuva, work that he poured tremendous individual effort into. He's the first one to kind of produce such an extensive, intricate work on the topic of tshuva. And in that work, the Rambam speaks about the focus of that work is on vidui, on the obligation to confess, to admit one's sin, and to express regret for it, and to turn away from sin, to adopt kind of a posture in which it's almost impossible that he would return to that state, etc. In the entire Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam never mentions that there's an obligation to repent. He only speaks of repentance as a given, and speaks about the obligation to confess, to say vidui, in the context of that expected context of tshuva. The one place where he speaks about the obligation to do tshuva is right here in this perek and in this halakha, perek Beis Halakha Zayin. And basically what he says is that Yom Kippur is such an essential day and it's such a pivotal day for tshuva that the one time that there's an obligation to do tshuva, not merely to confess in the context of tshuva, is on Yom Kippur. So clearly, the Rambam understands, the Rambam reflects the urgency, the stakes that are involved on Yom Kippur. He's accentuating kapara. But at the same time, this doesn't seem to be an explanation for Pirkei Drabba Lazar. The Rambam here is not speaking about Yom Kippur as a moed. He's certainly not focusing on the moniker of Shabbos Shabboson, which Pirkei Drabba Lazar is. Apparently, the special status that Yom Kippur has in tshuva, which is articulated so beautifully like by the Rambam, shares in common the indispensable, formidable role that Yom Kippur plays more generally. But it's not the answer, it's merely an additional indication of Yom Kippur's centrality. So in order to better understand what the Pirkei Drabba Lazar really may have in mind, what we need to do is examine the phrase Shabbos Shabboson a little more, or at least see it in its context, which means that we need to examine the psukim in Parshas Emor. My view is that the Parshas HaMoadim in Emor is always a source for insight about the singular character of each of the Chagim. Every Yom Tov accentuates common values, but is unique in expressing singular facets of Yahadus. And if we examine very carefully under a microscope Parshas Emor, we're often rewarded very generously with insights to understand what is singular and what we should be focusing on for every Chag. So to understand what is so unique about Yom Kippur, that the world existentially exists only because of it. If there were one moed in all of Emor, it would only be Yom Kippur, the interface of the two worlds. Let's look at Parshas Emor. The truth is, if you look at Parshas Emor, we don't have time to read the entire Parsha and to compare all the Moadim. We're going to zero in and focus on Yom Kippur. You'll have to take my word a little bit for it in terms of the contrast, but nicely sefer v'nechazit, what we call Milsa David Ligluye. You can just open up the Parsha and check out what I'm saying. The presentation of Yom Kippur in this Parsha is unique in every way. Everything about the way that the Torah speaks in Emor about Yom Kippur underscores how sui generis, how just different it is than any other Chag. Let me explain very briefly. This is number three. By Dabar Hashem al Moshe Lemar, Ach, Basar Lachodesh, Ashvi Yazeh, Yom Kippurim Hu, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, Vi Nisan Esnaf Shosechem, Vi Kravtem Isha Lashem. The first pasuk that deals with Yom Kippur already establishes by the first word that Yom Kippur is different than all of the Chagim. Remember, this is the parsha that delineates, starting with Shabbos, we'll get back to that in a moment, and then chronologically discussing the holiday of Pesach, or Chag HaMatzos, and then going chronologically to Shavuos, and then, of course, a discussion of the Rosh Hashanah that we just celebrated a couple of days ago, and then Yom Kippur, and then Sukkos. Every one of the Chagim is discussed in Parshas HaMoadim. But when the Torah introduces Yom Kippur, it introduces it with the word Ach, with a qualifying word, as if to say, whatever you're going to say about the other Moadim, Yom Kippur is different. Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Masechet Shavuos, understands it in a more technical way, to teach you that you need tshuva in order to attain atonement even on Yom Kippur. But if you look at the other Mefarshim, the Ibn Ezra, the Sfarno, some of the later Mefarshim, each has a very interesting explanation for the word Ach, which highlights that Yom Kippur just doesn't fit into any other of the Chagim. It's the only one that's a fast day. It's the only one that has certain other characteristics, which we'll get to in just a moment. So the word Ach already, the first word, sets the tone. Yom Kippur is simply different and unique. But more than that, the Torah keeps repeating the name Yom Kippur, accentuating it. Yom Kippurim Hu. This is something that is emphasized not so much in this Parsha, but as we'll see in a moment, the parallel Parsha and Parshas Achrimos. However, the Torah uses the phrase Mikra Kodesh, which is the ubiquitous linking phrase of all of the Parshas HaMoadim. Torah begins Parshas HaMoadim by discussing Eile Moadei Hashem Asher Tikro Sam Mikroi Kodesh, and the word Mikra Kodesh appears in every one of the Moadim. But when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, the Torah employs that term in a totally different way. Every other use of Mikra Kodesh is connected to the prohibition to do malacha on that chag. Beginning with Shabbos, Shabbos is called Mikra Kodesh, that's the first usage of it in the Torah, and it's connected to the Isser to do malacha, to do work on Shabbos. Then if you follow up, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkos, every one of the chagim that mentions Mikra Kodesh, practically, it's connected to Kol Meleches Avoda Lo Sasu. Mikra Kodesh, in other words, the phrase that designates a Yom Tov, is connected to the generic quality that all Yomim Tovim share, and that is that in all of them, you're not allowed, you have to cease from doing your regular malacha. Unlike Shabbos, which has a prohibition of kol malacha, all malacha, when it comes to the Yomim Tovim, according to the Ramban, this is signified by the term meleches avoda. There's a heter ochel nefesh. You're allowed to prepare food and certain other physical joys on the Yom Tov. It's not kol malacha. It's only meleches avoda. But basically, the idea of every malacha borrowed from Shabbos is that there is some sort of iser malacha mikra kodesh, and therefore it's always connected in the psukim themselves. But if you look carefully when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Torah says, Yom Kippurim hu, mikra kodesh yelachem, and instead of speaking about iser malacha, it says, V'nisem esnaf shoseichem, v'kravtem isha lashem. That would be the equivalent of the Torah saying, mikra kodesh, chag ha-matzos. Or mikra kodesh, right? You should sit in the sukkah, or you should pick up the lulav. Why is it that when it comes to Yom Kippur, the word Mikra Kodesh is connected to the specific focus of the day, the special Kedushas Hayom of the day, and in every other of the Chagim, Mikra Kodesh is connected to the common denominator of that day, namely Iser Malacha? We should add that it's interesting that V'nisem is also the first thing that we read about on Yom Kippur. The first manifestation of Yom Kippur is its most unusual, namely the obligation to abstain from eating and drinking, V'nisem esnaf shoseichem, to suppress the physical side of our existence, which is normally something that we celebrate and something that we harness in the goal of Avodas Hashem. And on Yom Kippur, the obligation is to suppress. That's the most unusual requirement of any chag. And that most unusual perspective is connected to the word mikra kodesh. As if to say that while every chag has a common feature carried over again and again, when it comes to Yom Kippur, even what seems common is different. And then when the Torah does speak about Iser Malacha in Pasuk Kaf Ches, the Kol Malacha Lo Ta'asu, you should not do any Malacha. Notice it's Kol Malacha, not Meleches Avoda. Again, distinguishing it and linking it with Shabbos rather than the Yomim Tovim. That's because there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh. There's no permissibility to cook, to bake, or to do the other things that come along with the Heter Ochel Nefesh on Yom Kippur. We're not going to discuss that now, why that is, but, I mean, there's an obvious reason, but there are subtle reasons too. But when the Torah finally speaks about Iser Malacha, what should have been connected to Mikroi Kodesh, instead the Torah says, Be'etzem Ayom Azeh. The phrase Be'etzem appears again ubiquitously with regard to Yom Kippur, implying there's a certain connotation that there is a certain intensity or intrinsic sanctity to Yom Kippur. It has etzem kedusha. That has implications with regard to tshuva, repentance, as well. The principle, as the Gemara explains it, is that when it comes to Yom Kippur, in some cases, even absent repentance, and certainly in conjunction with repentance, is tsumo shel yom is mechaper, the mighty sanctity of the day, right, the inherent, you know, intensity of the day itself atones. So here, the Torah connects the words malacha, which are typically connected to Mikroi Kodesh, to Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, to Yom Kippur directly itself. And then continues to explain that, the second reference to Yom Kippur, which we already discussed, Ki Yom Kippurim Hu L'chaper Aleichem L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. Somehow, the prohibition to do malacha on Yom Kippur, rather than being a generic expression of a Yom Tov, as it is everywhere else, is connected directly to the kapara of Yom Kippur, as is V'nisem esnaf shoseichem, which is also connected to the Mikra Kodesh of Yom Kippur. Then the Torah continues, Ki kol ha-nefesh asher lo se'uneh, again, be'etzem ayom hazeh, b'nichrasa me'ameha, the severe punishment if you don't abstain from eating and drinking because of or due to the intense essence of this day. V'chol ha-nefesh asher tasa kol malacha be'etzem ha-yom hazeh, that's the third time, right? V'avadati es ha-nefesh ahi mikerev amam. So you have the prohibitions, and then you have repetition in context of etzem ha-yom hazeh to show you how severe, right, ignoring them or violating them is. Kol malacha lo sasu, a second rendition of the Isser Malacha, chukas salom l'doroseichem b'chol moshvoseichem. So until this pasuk, it's clear that the Torah is presenting and treating Yom Kippur as if it is completely singular. Its Yisra Malacha is different, its specific mitzvah, which would parallel, let's say, the sukkah, the lulav, the matzah, you know, of the others, is treated differently. We have repetitions and especially an emphasis on Itzumo Shel Yom, on the intensity of this particular day. And finally, the culminating pasuk, which in some respects is the most fascinating. Shabbos Shabbason Hu Lachem, that phrase which the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar was zeroing in on, this is a, you know, Shabbos of Shabboses. It's hard to know if that just means it's more Shabbos than Shabbos. There is an expression, Shabbos Shabbason, with regard to Shabbos, that's a little bit different. Shabbos Shabbason Mikra Kodesh, which changes it. The phrase Shabbos Shabbason Hu Lachem appears only with respect to Yom Kippur, and it implies, again, a certain intensity, duality. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar was talking about its duality, Balam Hazeh, Balam Haba, but as we'll see, I think it has greater significance. It's not just that there are two or more, there's more Shabbos on Yom Kippur, maybe even than on Shabbos. It's almost like a geometric Shabbos Shabbason. Like this is Shabbos squared. The Nisem es nafshel seichem is repeated again. Again, so you can't miss the fact that Nisem es nafshel seichem is connected to the intensity and the uniqueness of this day. And then finally, betisha lachodesh ba'erev, me'erev ad erev, tishbisu shabbatchem. The Torah ends on a very peculiar note. Until the second half of the last pasuk, pasuk lamed beis, the focus has been on itzumo shel yom, the intensity of the day, and we've repeated several times the stakes in terms of onshim, right? If you fail to comply, then there are grave consequences, etc. The Torah concludes what should have been a crescendo or a climax, seemingly on a very much a lesser note. Batisha lachodesh ba'erev, as opposed to ach ba'asar lachodesh, on the ninth day of the month, may erev ad erev, very hard to read and understand what the psukim are talking about, although we will explain in a minute, from night to night, the Gemara is going to tell us it means starting from the ninth night, going through to the beginning of the 11th, tishbisu shabbatchem. You should rest, or you should be properly observing your Shabbos. The Gemara says in Masechet Yoma, we'll look at it more later, on Daf Pei Aleph Omud Beis, that this seemingly whimper of a conclusion, Chalila, I'm going to explain that it's not. I'm just talking about our initial impression. This very seemingly anticlimactic conclusion refers to the principle of Tosefes Kedusha, of being Mosif Michal ala Kodesh. All of us are familiar that there is a requirement, mostly the authorities think this applies on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. You always add a little, you begin to act as if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, a little bit in advance of the day, and you continue a little after the day is over. We'll see soon. According to most authorities, the source of that concept of Tosefes Kedusha are these final words regarding Yom Kippur. But Tisha Lachodesh Ba'erev, Me'erev Ad Erev, Tishbisu Shabbatchem. The stakes are significantly lower. In other words, if you happen to eat or do malacha on the period where you're supposed to advance observance of Yom Kippur or delay and continue observing Yom Kippur on the 11th, you don't get such a severe punishment. It's probably only a violation of a mitzvah, say, It's very strange that after proclaiming Shabbat Shabbaton Hu Lachem, which is kind of the apex of the intensity of how we look at Yom Kippur and how pivotal it is, how unique it is, etc., that the Torah would then transition for its final words about Yom Kippur to speaking about a topic that seems to be, again, generic and universal, and that is relative to the intensity of what we've been speaking about before, Itzumo Shel Yom, Avadati Yishma, V'Nichrasa Me'ameha, that we would speak about something which is of much less gravity and significance. The question is, why? Why is the Torah presenting Yom Kippur in this way? What do the words Shabbat Shabbaton mean? Or what might they mean? And why does the Torah conclude this particular parsha in the way that it does? Okay. So let me go back and explain, you know, what I think is happening here. Firstly, the phrase Shabbat Shabbaton itself. There are various interpretations given by the Mefarshim. Some of them actually downplay or minimize the significance of the term. If you look at Rashi in Masechet Yoma, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, and the Netziv in his Perush HaMek Davar are two good examples of that. But mostly, the consensus view in the Mefarshim is that Shabbat Shabbaton is a colossus, that it represents a unique status, and that it accentuates the unparalleled role that Yom Kippur plays, its intensity, etc. Indeed, the Ibn Ezra suggests that the word Shabbos Shabbaton, just like the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, is somehow a formula to integrate and to balance the two aspects of our lives. Physical existence, right, the material world, and ruchnius, the spiritual plane, obviously the purpose of existence. And we'll get back to this particular point. What is it about the phrase Shabbat Shabbaton, though, that earns such accolades or that basically inspires such a status as Yom Kippur? So I'd like to suggest, firstly, that the term Shabbat Shabbaton is a way of underscoring the unsurpassed quality of Kedusha, of sanctity, that applies to Yom Kippur. And this in two senses. Number one, the term Shabbat is really synonymous with sanctity, with Kedusha. The first time that the Torah introduces the phrase, the word, and the concept of Kedusha is in connection to Shabbos. In Parshas Bereishis, right, the Torah tells us of the creation, right? And then it tells us, Vayivarech Elokim es yom hashvi'i, vayikadesh oso, and God sanctified it. The paradigm of Kedusha, of sanctity, as reflected by its first example, is Shabbos itself. We speak of Shabbos as me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is transcendent. It's out of time. It's not just the seventh day. It's the day that makes all other days worthwhile. It's something that is singular, that's out of the shigra, it's out of the regular routine of man. And that's why there's a prohibition to do malacha. You're obligated to abstain from malacha. Kivo shavas mikol malachto asher bara Elokim lasos. This is our way of imitating the Ribbono Shel Olam. He rested on the seventh day. The source of sanctity is lihi damot. It's to imitate God himself. And therefore, Shabbos represents the pinnacle of Kedusha. Indeed, in the Parsha in Emor that presents all of the Moadim, the Parsha that we've been referring to in Parshas Emor, actually begins peculiarly, something that the Mefarshim address, with Shabbos. Torah says in Perek Chav Gimel, Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Leimor, Dabero B'nei Yisrov Amarta Aleihem, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Mikroi Kodesh, Eilehem Moadai. So the Torah says, we're about to present the various festivals. So we're all anticipating either that we will begin to discuss the holiday of Pesach, or Chag HaMatzos, if the world really begins Nisan, or maybe Rosh Hashanah, if the sequence should start at Tishrei. Instead, it's kind of a, you know, curveball. The Torah says, Sheshes yamim te'aseh melacha, v'yom ha'shvi, Shabbos Shabbaton mikra kodesh, kol melacha lo sasu, Shabbati la'ashem, b'kol moshvo seichem. And all the mefarshim pile in. That's for another shiur, not for right now. But the point is, what's it doing here? But the answer is, this is also the first time that the Torah uses the expression mikra kodesh in connection to Shabbos. What the Torah is telling us is, if you want to understand the Moadim, the introduction to the Moadim is through Shabbos. The phrase Mikra Kodesh, which is going to characterize every one of the Moadim, including Yom Kippur, although it's used differently in Yom Kippur, as I already noted, every one of those is connected to Shabbos. Shabbos is the first of the Mikra Kodesh. You can't talk about Shabbos, you can't talk about Yom Tov sanctity without first speaking about Shabbos. In the Kiddush, that reflects and also to some extent initiates sanctity on Shabbos and on Yom Tov itself, we speak about on the Kiddush of Shabbos, Yom Techila or Techila Limikroi Kodesh. We speak about Shabbos as the first, as the paradigm, as the framework and the foundation of sanctity. So I think that when the Torah describes Yom Kippur as Shabbos Shabboson, what it's saying about Yom Kippur is that it is a day of unique Kedusha. And in an obvious way, it's clear that it is, because there's a triple convergence on Yom Kippur of sanctity. There are really three categories of sanctity. One category is Kedushas HaGavra, persona. There are certain people who have an enhanced stature of sanctity. The greatest or the most, you know, prominent is the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur achieves or attains the pinnacle of his personal sanctity. The day of Yom Kippur is the day of the Kohen Gadol in every respect. The Kohen Gadol presides over the entire sacrificial rite on that day, very elaborate. It's not enough that he oversees what's called the Avodas Hayom in the Big Day Lavan, wearing his white garb and doing the special sacrifices of Yom Kippur. The Rambam describes, based on the Mishnayos and the Gemara, it all begins with all the korbanos of the day, including the korban tamid. Tamid and musaf intermingled, we'll get back to that, with the special korbanos of the day. All of them require the elite figure, from a sanctity point of view, of the Kohen Gadol. It's the day of the Kohen Gadol. Moreover, the Kohen Gadol is defined by Yom Kippur. It's not so well known, but the Kohen Gadol does not have a long list of duties and obligations. His primary obligation, he has a daily obligation to bring a Korban Mincha called the Minchas Chavitin. That's a very fascinating chapter, but not for now. But mostly what defines the Kohen Gadol is the fact that on Yom Kippur, he is the address, he presides. The Yom Kippur's persona, the Yom Kippur persona is what defines the Kohen Gadol himself. Indeed, it's not only the Kohen Gadol, it's the first paradigm of the Kohen Gadol, Aaron HaKohen, and his special sanctity alongside that of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look at the Parsha in Achrei Mos, the Torah speaks about Aaron. If you look at number 4, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Daber al Aaron Achicha, Al Yavo Bechaleis al HaKodesh, Mibes la Paroches, El Pnei HaKaporis Asher al Aaron Velo Yamus, Ki Be'anan Erael HaKaporis. Get back to that in a minute. When you want to be Nichnas, you want to enter in a place where you can't enter any other time, the Sanctum Sanctorum, right? The Lifnai V'Lifnim, the most holy place. We'll get to that in a moment. Right? This is what you have to do. Tell your brother Aaron. Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. This is the protocol for Aaron to follow. V'Hikriv Aaron, Psukim spoke about this another year. Keep repeating the name Aaron, Aaron. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal used to say in one of those tshuva drashas that we were referring to earlier, and elsewhere, other times he said it as well. If you look at the piyutim of the Avoda, they speak about the Kohen Gadol as Tachas Aaron HaKohen. The Kohen Gadol's whole persona is defined by being the heir to the legacy of Aaron HaKohen, and the primary task, what defines his sanctity, is the complete, absolute role that he plays. No one else can function, even for the Korban Tamid, on Yom Kippur. So Kedushas HaGavra, the sanctity of person, reaches its apex on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, on this special day. It's not a coincidence that the Torah uses the expression Shabbos Shabbason in this context as well. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph, number 6, Shabbat Shabbaton hi lachem, v'nisem es nafshoseichem, chukat olam. Followed by Pasuk Lamed Beis, v'chiper ha-kohen asher yibshach oso, asher yimalei es yado lekahen tachas avim, when they talk about the legacy of Aaron's descendants who will replace him as the Kohen Gadol, it's in the aftermath of defining this as a day of Shabbos Shabbason. Without going much into detail, Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, brings personal sacrifices on the day of Yom Kippur, a par and an ayil. But what's fascinating is the prominent role that they play. One could have thought, well, in order to qualify to enter Lifnai v'Lifnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you have to engage in certain religious performance, and you have to bring karbanos, you have to clear your own record, etc. But it's much, much more than that. If you look here again at number 4, it's bezos yavo aron al kodesh that par ben bakar lechatas ve'ayel ola. In some respects, the personal sacrifices of Aaron are given greater preeminence in the process, or maybe equal, I don't want to take too much, to the communal sacrifices of the two Seirim, the famous two goats. The Hikriv Aaron is Parachatas HaShalo, V'chiper Bado Bad Beiso, and only then V'lokach HaShnei HaSeirim V'midosam L'fnei Hashem Pesach Ol Moed. V'lokach Midam HaPor, if you look at Pasuk Yedaled, V'hizah Be'etzbo Al Pnei HaKaporis, Kedma V'lei HaKaporis, Yazev Sheva Pamim and Adam Be'etzbo, the protocol of how you sprinkle the sacrificial blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is done first with the par, and then v'shachat asira chatasa shelo am be'ibiyas damo mi'beis laparokas v'yotzas damo kasher asal adam apar v'zos ala kaporis v'lifnei kaporis. It's almost, the inverse of what we would have anticipated, meaning the whole nation is collectively achieving atonement by the actions of the Kohen Gadol. What should be the focus? His personal sacrifices or the sacrifices that reflect that corporate entity? But basically, what's prior are his personal sacrifices. They establish the paradigm and the precedent. And when we describe what you do with the collective korbanos of Klal Yisrael, you do the same thing you did to the personal korbanos. Then you mix them together, you have mixed them together and put them both on the Mizbeach HaKetores. The details, again, are not so important for the moment. In other words, on one level, the apex of Kedushas HaGavra, of sanctity of person, is achieved only on Yom Kippur, which has a symbiotic relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the person, and the day in which he officiates Yom Kippur itself. But it's not only that. There's a second category of sanctity, and that's called Kedushas HaMoko, venues. There are places that have sanctity. The Mishnah in Masechet Kelim tells us, Eser Kedushosein, there are 10 concentric levels of sanctity. Eretz Yisrael has sanctity, Yerushalayim has sanctity, the Beis HaMikdash has sanctity, there are 10 different levels. All of it radiates from Lifnai v'lifnim, what's called the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Sanctum Sanctorum, the place which is visited only once a year by the Kohen Gadol, who has and who represents and embodies the highest level of personal sanctity. He can visit it only on Yom Kippur. That's, of course, what the Pasuk says. By Dabar Hashem al Moshe Lemor, number 3, Chav Zayin, Ach Be'asar Lachot, I'm sorry, wrong one, 4, Vayomar Hashem al Moshe, Daber al Aaron Achicha al Yavo B'chaleis al HaKodesh, Mi Beis LaParoches al Pnei HaKapores Asher al Aaron V'lo Yamuas, Ki Be'anan Erael HaKapores, Bezos Yavar Aaron al HaKodesh. Meaning, the background is that the sons, the great-great sons of Aaron HaKohen, Nadav and Abihu, who were on all accounts very righteous men, very qualified and worthy in every way, but they didn't follow proper protocol. Their haste to kind of achieve the pinnacle of sanctity ignored protocol, preparation. We'll discuss that in a moment. And as a result, a tragic death ensued. The protocol for the Kohen Gadol entering Lifnai v'Lifnim into the Kodesh HaKodashim is meant to be a tikkun, a way of neutralizing the chet of the sons of Aaron, and a contrast as well. The goal of the avoda, in some respects, is to attain entry into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Literally, to be in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam in a physical way, but that is close to spiritual venue as possible. The ketores, the incense that is brought in that context, is something which is very ethereal. It's not really kind of purely physical. It has a certain connotation as well. So the place of Yom Kippur, Lifnai v'Lifnim, the goal, Ki Be'anan Erael HaKapores, represents the apex of Kedushas HaMakom. But of course, what we've been discussing is that in addition to all of that, Yom Kippur represents the apex of Kedushas HaZman. The very fact that V'nisim Esnaf Shel Seichem, suppression of what otherwise is appropriate activity, physicality, not begrudgingly on Yom Kippur. Some people are begrudging. Some people dread Yom Kippur. If you know, people walk away from this year, you know, with only one idea, and that is that Yom Kippur is an opportunity. It's a time to relish. It's a something to capitalize on and to immerse oneself in. Dayenu, that would be enough. It's difficult to fast on Yom Kippur, but there's a certain headiness. There's a certain spiritual high that fasting on Yom Kippur, suppressing one's physicality and establishing that one has the capacity to extricate himself from, you know, his material framework, that is the clear and the unique challenge of Yom Kippur. And there is no better definition of sanctity, of Kedusha. It's fascinating. The Gemara says in Masechet Yuma, points out, that if you look carefully at the psukim, fasting and, you know, violating the fast is a very severe offense. But the Torah never depicts it as a negative, as a lav, as a prohibition or an infraction. It says, it's v'nisim esnaf shel seichem. It's formulated, actually, as a mitzvah, as an obligation. There's a very fascinating Gemara, the Gemara in Masechet Yoma. If you look on page 2 of the Mar Makomos, number 8, the Gemara says, Amar Eish Lakish, Mipnei Ma Lo Nemra Azhara Be'inui. Why does the Torah, it's just a very fascinating question. You know, we think of fasting as like, you know, and it is. The stakes are very high. You know, you have to be very careful. And we think of it as a negative. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to, basically, you're not allowed to eat. But the Torah doesn't depict it as you're not allowed to eat. They formulate it, articulate it as you're obligated to fast. And they see it as an opportunity. So the Gemara says, where's the lav? So the Gemara says, Mishum de lo afshar. Originally the Gemara thought, well, there's no way to construct it, to formulate it. The Ribono Shel Olam, you know, wrote the Torah, and he, you know, had probably greater word skills and certainly ingenuity than the rest of us. So the Gemara says, Hecha nichtov, nichtov rachmana lo yochal, achila b'kazayis. Whatever phrase you use, the Gemara says, it's not going to capture it. Nichtov rachmana lo te'une, if you say don't suppress kumachot, it sounds like you're supposed to eat. Maskil thravosha, nichtov rachmana yishama pen lo te'une. The thrust of it is the Gemara originally thought like it's impossible to say, and then the Gemara, of course, came to the conclusion that there are ways to say it. If you want, you can say hishamer, or you can say al tosser minainui. The Rabbeinu Sholem knows how to say it. Kasha. And then later on, the Gemara tells us that there is a virtual lav, right? Even though the concept of a virtual lav is already in the Torah, even though there's no concrete actual lav. And the Rambam actually codifies this right in the beginning of Hilchos Shvisas Asar, which we have here as well. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah say and a mitzvah losah say of abstaining from malacha. But if you look at number 15, the Rambam says in halacha base, before 15, the end, right before 15. Kol malacha shechayim lazor d'shah, it is, it's number 15. Mitzvah say akeres yesh b'yom kippurim. Lishbosom yachilo shtia, mipia shmuolamdu, inui shilinefesh zatzo. The kola ochav is also yirmavatel, and you violate losase. Ma'achar sh'ana shakasuv kares, is halacha dalid, lemishalonasana, lamadnu shamazir musharin mimenu, onu bo alachila ushtia. I mean, the Rambam counts it as a virtual lab, based on the Gemara later on, which says how we know it, but there's no pasuk. Rab Sajigon only counted a mitzvah sase. The takeaway is, even though the Rambam counts a virtual lav, that's to emphasize the stakes and you know how crucial it is that we comply. But the concept of suppressing your physicality on Yom Kippur is not begrudging. It's not supposed to be something. It is difficult physically, but it's supposed to be a challenge that we thrive on. It's the ability, basically, to embrace sanctity and spirituality in the most dramatic fashion that we can imagine. In that sense, we can understand why the Rambam explains that Vi'i Nisem is connected to Mikra Kodesh. There's nothing generic about Yom Kippur. But also that Isur Malacha on Yom Kippur, which in all Misur Malacha and all other Moadim is connected to the generic Mikra Kodesh. Here it's connected to Ki Yom HaKippurim. Let me explain very briefly. Shabbos is defined by the abstention from work, by Isur Malacha. The Torah tells us why. Ki Vo Shabbos Mikol Malachto Asher Bara Lekim La'asos. We're imitating God, we're respecting the process of creation. He abstained from work, we're abstaining from work, etc. The concept of Isur Malacha is intrinsic to Shabbos. Every other Yom Tov, there's a prohibition to do Malacha because that's the introduction of Shabbos and Parshas HaMoadim. Shabbos, as the source of Kedushas HaZman, sanctity of time, in addition to its primary theme of Isur Malacha, also created a Tzuras Yom Kodesh. We know what a holy day, what a Yom Tov, what a festival looks like, they're all basically an extension of Shabbos. That's why Shabbos precedes all of the Yomim Tovim, because it's the blueprint, if you will. But that's why it doesn't have the same severity, the Isur Malacha, and it's all connected to Mikra Kodesh. What does it have? What is the relationship between abstaining from work and celebrating the Exodus? Or Matan Torah? Right? Or Sukkot? The answer is only to the extent that it's Mikroi Kodesh, that the day that celebrates and that promotes these themes has to be a day in the mold of Shabbos. That's why there's a Heter Malacha. That's why it's always referred to generically Mikra Kodesh Kol Malachas Avodah Lo Sasa, except for Yom Kippur. Why? Because like Shabbos, the Shabbos Shabboson of Yom Kippur's abstention from Malacha doesn't include a Heter Ochel Nefesh. And there is a capital offense, just like Shabbos. And just like Shabbos, although for a different reason, it's not about the quality, the way that the day, you know, is formed. It's about the direct message of Yom Kippur. The direct message of Yom Kippur is there's a day of the year in which the proper immersion into spirituality, Kula Lashem, allows us to extricate ourselves from the limitations of a material life. And it allows us to demonstrate that our commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam is such that if he asked us to do this every day, we would be up to the challenge. The idea of Yom Kippur is that we can surpass the spirituality of angels. We can stand up during the prayers, and we can shout out Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed, and many of the other practices that reflect this spiritual focus, this competition with the angels, which we, by the way, win. Abstaining from malacha on Yom Kippur is not because it's got to be a Yom Tov-like day. It's because you can't, as productive as work is, it deflects from, and therefore is unacceptable on Yom Kippur, when the focus needs to be our spiritual potential, our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a day of Kiva Yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem L'Taher Eskem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Lifnei Hashem Titar. It's a day of sanctity and purity. It's a day in which we establish our credentials, our capacity for greatness. And then we're asked to harness our physicality all year round and to elevate that into spirituality. Once we've established our ability of V'nisim es nafsho seichem and Ki Yom Kippurim Hu, our ability, our capacity to abstain from work, to put it in proper context, then the rest of the year round, it's productive, it's even a vehicle for Avodas Hashem. In other words, the Kedushas Hazman of Yom Kippur, as reflected by the Ach and the Mikroi Kodesh and the Itzumo Shel Yom and the role of V'nisim es nafsho seichem and the role of Iser Malacha, what's unique about it? All of that establishes Yom Kippur as Shabbos Shabboson, as a day of geometric Kedusha, based on and in some respect rivaling, in some respect more, in some respect less, but rivaling, competing with, parallel to Shabbos itself. So that Shabbos Shabboso, that phrase which appears in the two main parshios of Yom Kippur, Achrimos and Emor, basically establishes, number one, the convergence of the three Kedushos on this day, Kedushas HaGabra, Kedushas HaMakom, Kedushas HaZman. But more than that, it's not just the coincidence of the convergence or even the absence of coincidence. It's the reason for the convergence. It's the day of Kula Lashem. It's the day when we establish that all year round our material focus and physicality does not have to be a compromise, because we do have the potential, really, to embrace spirituality, no holds barred, in an absolute way. In the end of the day, what is Kedusha? The concept of Kedusha is the concept of transcendence. It's the capacity to extricate from material context, constraints, to experience the impossible and yet indispensable presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whether it's Lifnai V'Lifnim in the Kodesh HaKadashim, after the protocols of the Kohen Gadol B'Zos Yavo Aaron, or whether it is by means of abstaining from food and malacha as an expression of Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. The capacity for and the experience of Kedusha is indispensable for quality of life. There would be no purpose to life if we didn't have the ability to elevate our material context and to edify it. Our aspirations to elevate material life require significant junctures, Shabbat, Moadim, venues, certain personas like the Kohen Gadol, but especially on Yom Kippur is the apex and convergence of each, where we're immersed in and establish our credentials for Kedusha. So it's not just the coincidence of triple convergence. It's there for a reason. But the integrated theme of human initiative, unlike Shabbos, this wasn't imposed by the Rabbanu Shalom Kavua B'Kaima Misheshes Nebreshes. It's part of the human Klal Yisrael initiative, Mikadesh Yisrael, has that aspect of Kulul Hashem, total intense focus, immersive commitment. We can compete and surpass the Malachim by suppressing our physicality in a joyous way, capitalizing on that challenge. But there's another facet to Kedusha as well. It's very fascinating. If you look at the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, on Daf Pei Aleph, the Gemara has a very remarkable, very curious line. If you look here, trying to find it, it is on page 3. Page 2? Okay, thank you. Page 2, sorry. It's number 9. The Gemara says something quite amazing. Gemara says, I think, Chamisha Ksivi B'Malacha. Yeah. The word Malacha is used 5 times if you look at all the Parshios. Emor, Achrimos, Pinchas. Chad Lazor D'Imama. Chad Lazor D'Lelia. Chad L'Onish D'Imama. Chad L'Onish D'Lelia. V'chad L'Afnuye L'Migmar Inu M'Malacha Bein D'Imama Bein D'Lelia. Okay. What this means is that we needed psukim, Torah tells us, that we needed to demonstrate that Malacha, the abstaining from work on Yom Kippur and abstaining from eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, v'nisim esnaf shel seichem, one would have thought that that was only during the daytime and not at night. And therefore, we need extra psukim to tell you that it extends at night as well. Question is obvious. Why would you distinguish between the night and the day? We don't distinguish between the night and the day when it comes to Isser Malacha on Shabbos or on any other Yom Tov. If you look at Tosis Shonim number 10, he asks, Lo yadana ibi'ina b'chol duchta onesh di imamah v'le'elya b'malacha kigon shabbosos v'yomim tovim v'chol ha'shomoid. He said, we don't seem to find a parallel that you need to prove that on Pesach, you know, you can't eat chametz the night. Or Isser Malacha for that matter. The Tosa Rosh gives a partial answer, then number 11. He says, Mishum dahachi ksib be'etzam ayom azeh, itzrich kro le'onesh le'elia tvei mi b'shabbos v'yamim tovim. Nowhere else do you have such an emphasis on the day. The Gemara in Shavuos Daf Yud Gimel explains that the real intensity of the sanctity of the day is during the day for purposes of tshuva, and therefore you would have thought maybe V'nisem and Isser Malacha are also only during the day, during that intense period. Well, number one, that certainly demonstrates that Isser Malacha on Yom Kippur is related to Yom Kippur. It's not generic, because if there's more Isser Malacha on Yom Kippur than there is on any other Yom Tov, and yet every Yom Tov it's obvious that it would be at night and day, because it's just part of the Kedushas Hayom. Obviously, on Yom Kippur, it's not part of the Kedusha Sayom. It's part of the Kedusha of Yom Kippur, very specifically. But then, of course, this raises another question. And that is, then the Maskara becomes, why isn't it only limited? I mean, we only take Lulav during the day, and we only will blow Shofar during the day. Is V'nisam and Isser Malacha like that? The Gvura Sari, very famous commentary in the Miluim section of his, they didn't have it in the Bar Ilan, know why they don't have the Miluim, but he says it's like other mitzvot sayom. So then why isn't it? Oh. So I think because there's another facet of Shabbos Shabboson and its special perspective on Kedusha. And that is as follows. Kedusha is characterized by an intense, core, single-minded focus, the experience itself. But then, concentrically, radiating from that constricted experience, the Tzumot Shel Yom in this case, there is an expansion. Willy-nilly, there has to be an expansion of Tzumot Shel Yom. You can't contain it. There's an overflow of sanctity and impact, influence. Malacha and V'nisem even though they have their roots in Itzumo Shoyom, as the psukim themselves establish, they can't be contained because the sanctity and the impact of Yom Kippur's Kedusha, of Shabbos Shabbason, that kind of Kedusha, that kind of touch of transcendence, is not something that is limited to the experience. Kedusha, while necessarily focused, is fundamentally incompatible with narrowness. There is always preparation and investment. That's a sine qua non for the greater the Kedusha, the greater the Hachana. Ein Kedusha b'li Hachana. Har Sinai, for Klal Yisrael to receive the Torah, they had to prepare several days in advance. For the Kohen Gadol to be Nichnas Lifnai v'Lifnim, he has to separate for 7 days in advance in order to preside. The protocol of Bezos Yavo Aaron Alekodesh, the goal is to be able to enter the Holy of Holies. But he can't do that until a whole series of steps, an entire Masechta Yoma, describes those steps. The Psukim in Akrimos describes those steps. There is no Kedusha. That was the tragic error of the sons of Aaron. But by the same token, there has to be follow-up impact. Kedusha, by its definition, is transformative. The Ramban already notes that the language of the Torah implies that all of the holidays of Tishrei are interconnected, B'chodesh HaShvi. In other words, there is no Yom Kippur unless it's preceded by Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the period that we're in now. That's why they call it the 10 days of Tshuva in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? I've pointed this out many times. There aren't 10 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But it's the way of establishing that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have a dual function. They're standalone chagim, and they're integrated into the whole period as a single process. The Kedusha of Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbason, what makes it unique, requires that preparation, and it requires the follow-through of Sukkot. The word ach in Parshas Emor, a little bit later on, is used again in connection to the holiday of Sukkot. If Yom Kippur reflects intense yira, intense awe of the Ribono Shel Olam, Sukkot represents and reflects intense joy. One leads to the other, as Rambam explains very famously in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. There is a process that begins at Rosh Hashanah, that culminates in some respects at Yom Kippur, and that then overflows into Sukkot. The reason Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbason is because maybe more than any other holiday, that preparation and that follow-up are so much part and parcel of the sanctity itself. Thrice characterized as Achas Bashana, Yom Kippur is called once in a year. That phrase appears here in Parshas Achrimos, Achas Bashana. It also appears twice in Parshas Tetzaveh in connection with the Mizbeach HaKetores, whose primary function is on Yom Kippur. There the Torah twice is used as that expression. The idea of Achas Bashana, to me, embodies this idea. Yom Kippur is both the most exotic, distinctive, impactful, singular day of the year, and it's also the most relevant, transformative, impactful day of the year. It's both once a year, and only once a year, and also the one day that defines and is the linchpin for the year. And if this is the case, we may now appreciate the conclusion of this little presentation in Parshas Emor. And I'm going to suggest that rather than being an anticlimax, it is the perfect conclusion that anyone could have envisaged or imagined. What was the question? If you look again in 3, the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Itzumo Shel Yom. Then it finally transitions in the last pasuk to something that is a little more familiar to us, Shabbos Shabbason, which characterizes this day, the day of Kedusha, triple Kedusha, geometric Kedusha, Kedusha of preparation, Kedusha of transformation and impact. And then it seems to conclude right, in a very pedestrian way. After Vidisa Misna, B'tisha L'chodesh Ba'erev, Me'erev Ad Erev, Tishbedu Shabbat. What is that? And why is it a climax, a crescendo for this parsha? It applies to, according to many, Shabbos and Yom Tov. This parsha, which avoided the generic, even its Mikra Kodesh is different, even if it's Yisra Malacha, all of a sudden it ends on a note that is universal. But if we take a step back and think about it, the Gemara says, again, that this refers to the concept of Tosefet Kedusha. To the idea that, I'm just going to read the Gemara for 1 minute. Gemara says on Tzachad Yoma, Daf Pei Aleph Omid Beis, Gemara says the following. This is number 13. V'in nisa masnaf shal sechem betisha l'chodesh. This pasuk. Yachol yatchil v'yisana betisha. Maybe you should start fasting on the 9th. Talmud lomar ba'erev. Iba erev yachol mishu techshach. Maybe at night when it becomes the 10th. Talmud lomar betisha. Haketzad. Matchil v'yisana mibod yom. You begin fasting in advance. Mikan shemosifin michal l'chodesh. Maybe only entering Bitsiyaso Minayan, Talmud Lomar, Me'erev Ad Erev. It says Me'erev Ad Erev. It means you're supposed to linger into after Yom Kippur as well. Everybody always gets very upset with the, you know, with the Shliach Tzibur for Ne'ilah or the rabbi or both, you know, taking too much time. They're doing you a favor. You know. They're allowing you to extend Yom Kippur. Fulfill the challenge, attain the benefits. It's all according to the halacha. Eli al Yom Kippurim. This is the girsa in this Gemara. Shabbosos minayin tamad lomar tishpesu. Eli al Yom Tovim minayin tamad lomar shabbatka. Okay, tzad kol makom shenemar shvos mechol halakodesh. Okay. The very concept of Tosefes Kedusha is astonishing. The idea that you can add to a day, there's a certain holiness of the day. Torah defines that, right? Whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov or Yom Kippur, and somehow you can extend it in one direction or another. We're inured a little bit. We underappreciate by virtue of the familiarity of it, you know, how difficult it is to grasp its significance. What does it mean that we can, you know, extend sanctity? Sanctity belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If the Torah speaks about Shabbos and Yom Tov, how do we extend it? There are two models. I'm not going to detail them. Each one is challenging and innovative in a different way, and there are halachic differences that result, a topic in its own right. One perspective is that the concept of Tosefes Kedusha is about literally an expansion and a spillover from the day itself. In other words, kind of defies the indomitable laws of nature and time. The day, the 10th day, or the 15th day, you know, of Nisan, or Shabbos, extends. It begins a little earlier and it ends a little bit later. Now, how can we do that? I mean, it's not that day, right? Astronomically, calendarically. Or, the second perspective, the day is the day. The concept of extending sanctity is by advancing and furthering, continuing the experience of an acknowledged distinct day. We know it's the 9th day, and we know it's the 11th day, but we are conducting ourselves the way we conducted ourselves on the 10th day, when the Torah said, Ach, Ba'asiri, etc. Each of these challenges the indomitable laws of nature. It's fascinating that man would have this capacity and obligation. Indeed, there are some Gemaras, Gemara in Pei Aleph Omid Aleph, some authorities who say that Min HaTorah there really is no such thing. However, the mainstream view is to embrace this concept of Mosif and Michal al HaKodesh. The more popular view is that it applies on Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, based, according to most, on this Gemara and this Pasuk. Surely the Torah had ample opportunities in the context of numerous psukim, verses, on Shabbos and the Chagim, including Amar, but elsewhere as well, to reveal this phenomenon without having to root it specifically in the most singular holiday of all, the least generic. What do we make of the Torah's, of the Ribbono Shel Olam's editorial decision to reveal the concept of Mosifin Michal al HaKodesh specifically in the context of Shabbos Shabboson Yom Kippur? The answer is that the very concept of Yom Kippur as the quintessential expression and manifestation of Kedusha itself, Shabbos Shabboson, as rooted in not only Kavua V'Kaima, but the human initiative and the effort of abstaining from physicality, of delaying productive work, of doing it not begrudgingly, but as a mitzvah saseh, of immersing in the concept of Kulo Lashem and the capacity for spirituality, even to surpass that of angels, qualifies Yom Kippur and Shabbos Shabboson as the optimum source. Shabbos Shabboson exports Tosefes, well, thank you, Kedusha to Shabbos and to Yontif on this basis. But for the Rambam, this has a wholly different meaning as well. The Rambam's view is that the pivotal status of Yom Kippur is even more unique. Despite the weight of evidence, the language of the Gemara, other Gemaras, the Rambam's profound conviction, based obviously on his broad global understanding of sanctity, the sanctity of Yom Kippur, led him to read other texts, especially probably the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Kavzayin Amud Beis, the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and led him to conclude something extraordinary, that Tosefes Kedusha, extending sanctity, is exclusively applicable to Yom Kippur and limited to Vein Nisan Es Nafshel Secha. If you look at the Rambam here, Hilchos Shvisas Asar, Halach above, this is on page, what page is this? Two. Kishem Sheshvus Malacha Bo Bayom Bein Balayla, we'll get back to the second. B'tzorach lahosif michal al hakodesh b'knisaso b'yitziaso. You're obligated to extend the holy day going in and leaving. Klomar hitchatchil latzum ulahisanos, to fast and abstain from food. May erev tisha asamuch la'asiri. V'chein b'yitzia shoa b'inuyo ma'at mileol Achad Asar, Samuch La'asiri, Shenemar Me'erev Ad Erev, Tishbesu Shabbatchem. All of the commentators note that the Rambam never mentions the extension of sanctity on Shabbos, in Hilchos Shabbos, and never mentions it in Hilchos Yom Tov. The only time he ever relates to this topic is here, in Shvisas Asar. He doesn't even extend it to Malacha. It's only the Nisa Nes Nafshel Secha. Others deny that the Rambam meant that, but that seems to be the simple reading. And the question, of course, is why? But it's also connected to the introductory words. The Rambam, when he introduces this halacha, makes reference to the Gemara I mentioned before, which is, maybe the Nisa Nes Nafshel Secha only applies during the day, and not on the night before, even though it's already Yom Kippur. So he says, "Kishem sheshvus mi malacha bo bayom, bo." I'm sorry, "Bein bayom bein balayla, kach shvus leinui bein bayom bein balayla." I mean, the Rambam is saying, extending malacha to the night of Yom Kippur isn't as, and this is true in the Gemara, as innovative as extending the Nisan. That is more like shofar, lulav, etc. It's more connected to the tshuva and the kapara. But we do it. You know why we do it? Because that's what Kedusha is. And that's especially what the ultimate Kedusha, Shabbos Shabboson, is. It's an overflow of Itzumo Shoyom that is different, but that is still very much a powerful factor. And if that's true, then that overflow, that expression which is most acute in Vinisa, because it's about suppressing our physicality. It's all about embracing sanctity, transcendence, the Ribbono Shel Olam outside, right, or surpassing our physical selves. That's Vinisa. And therefore, only V'nisem needs preparation and needs continued impact. It's noteworthy that the Rambam does two other things. He makes it clear that for him, we're not extending Yom Kippur earlier. It doesn't begin earlier and end later. It's on the ninth day that we begin already to anticipate enthusiastically and to prepare for Yom Kippur. And it's on the 11th day where we continue to impact what happens on Yom Kippur itself. And for this reason, according to the Rambam, it has to be clear that you're doing so. It's not enough, Ben Hashmoshos, not going to get into the language of the Rambam, etc. In other words, one cannot envision a more perfect culmination of the Parsha of Yom Kippur. The climax for the Emor presentation of Yom Kippur, its stature as the embodiment of Kedushas HaZman, as a day both most unique and most relevant, as transformative Achad Bashana, emerges very powerfully, especially for the last words of the Rambam. In other words, you begin with Yom HaKippurim, with Yitzumo Shel Yom, that becomes translated into something that is more recognizable, but also deepens Shabbos Shabboson, the Kedusha, and that in turn expresses itself in before and in after. The Marsha in the end of Masechet Megillah has an interesting insight. He says, the Gemara there says, Vaydaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael, Mitzvason Shiu Korinoson Kolechad V'Yachad Bizmano. The Gemara says that, you know, each of the Moadim, you know, we should focus on them. Toner Rabbanan, Moshe Tikin L'Yisrael Shiu Shol in V'Dorshin B'Nyana Shol Yom. Moshe Rabbeinu said you should investigate each Chag, Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres Atzeres, Hilchos Chag B'Chag. The Marsha says, what happened to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? V'Hod Nokat B'Brayt number 20. Sholosh Regalim Pesach V'Atzeres V'Chag V'Lo Nokat Amir Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim. The Ksivi Gamkin B'Zua Parsha. They're also in the Parsha of the Moadim. Yishlomar D'Lo Tikei Moshe B'Shar Mitzvos Mishum D'Lo Asyon Mizman L'Zman. V'Achanami Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim Lo Mikri Mizman L'Zman. The exact opposite of what we typically think. You know, what's more unique than Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the beginning of the process and the end? Our Nusach HaTfilah is different, HaMelech HaKadosh, Zachrein HaLechayim, our Minhagim are different. It's a slice, it's like a piece of the year that doesn't belong with anything else. Marsha says, no, it's exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur don't require this kind of focus because they're ubiquitous, meaning their impact is ubiquitous. Yesh la'adam liten libo l'tshuva b'kol ha'shana, k'mo b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. Ma'ashen k'gimel regalim, b'svasam b'zmanon b'inyano shel yom, ma'ayin etam enami m'sapka, imomrim zman b'Rosh Hashanah, b'lo mikri shaper, m'zman l'zman. Very fascinating, Marsha. Now, while he means it mostly in terms of repentance, which is fine too, I would say that at least with respect to Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah as the beginning of the process, we also mean it in the sense that Yom Kippur's Achas Hashanah is both the most singular, unique day of the year, but at the same time, the most impactful and relevant day of the year as well. So returning to Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar, if that really inspired the whole idea, but the indispensability of Shabbos Shabboson as an epitome of Kedusha, of sanctity in all of its convergences, especially because it's about our capacity as people, as material, physical beings, to rise above that and to transform that. Our perspective on spirituality and physicality, which according to many Mefarshim is what Shabbos Shabboson is all about, is undoubtedly what Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar means about the interface between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And that's what emerges from this analysis. Yom Kippur as Tosefes Kedusha, as Achas Bashana, emerges as an indispensable linchpin if there was only going to be one moed, it would have to be Yom Kippur. That establishes the idealism of the halachic norm of a balanced life of Torah and of mitzvos, including physical expressions, Simchas Yom Tov, Oneg Shabbos, Chatzi Lachem, not as a compromise of our commitment to spirituality and to the Rabbono Shel Olam, but in fact as an elevation and sanctification of material life, as an ideal expression of Shabbos Shabbaton and of Kulo Lashem. I want to wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova. May we merit to prepare for, invest in, have the full experience of, and then be transformed by the inimitable experience of Shabbos Shabbos. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rebbe. I want to thank the team that made tonight possible. Looks like it was mostly Rav Rosenzweig and his notes, but there's a whole team behind it. Rabbi Russ Schultz, who's here, Rabbi Yaakov Taubis, Rabbi Rob Shur in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Dov Winston, Eli Shulman, not the Rosh Hashiva, but the head of our PR, Eli Shulman, and Adina Kirshner. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight, and a Gemar Chasima Tov.